Amen. Well, this morning I was going to be speaking about something else, but I just had something on my heart all week, and so I brought a word this morning, which I believe is going to help us enormously if we apply these principles to our lives. For some people, this will be life changing. And this morning, I'm going to be talking about the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood. Amen. And we're going to be looking a little bit about what that means, because we hear songs sung about it. When I was younger and I'd gone away for a few years and I was living in Birmingham, there was a Pentecostal church that I was part of there. And one of the songs that they liked to sing was, "Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. Yeah, and that's so true. It's so true. That is such an amazing truth. But when was the last time you spent some time just meditating on the power of the blood of Jesus and everything that means to us, which is exactly what we're going to be doing today? By the way, I've got some slides up on the screen here, and I've done something which I don't usually do, and that's I've printed out all of my slides. So when you leave today, there'll be somebody on the door and you'll be able to get a copy of all my slides, because in these slides are lots of scriptures which you can take away and you can pray in your closet when you're alone with God at home. So I'm going to start at the beginning. And I'm going to read some scriptures from Revelation, which is actually at the end. But I'm going to start at the beginning. And we're going to look at our position as children of God and the power that we have because of the blood of Jesus. So Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 11. And so this is describing a scene in heaven where the accuser of the brethren, that's the dragon, described as the dragon, Satan, the deceiver, he was cast down. So this is the account of that. It says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael, the archangel, and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray." And then in verse 10 it says, "I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down, and they trampled over him. They triumphed over him. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.'" Hallelujah. Who's they? It's us. Who are they testifying to? They're testifying about Jesus to the enemy. And so this morning we're going to look a little bit about what the blood has done for us and the power of our testimony about the blood when we face life's challenges. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it says this about the Lord Jesus. It says that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us. That's awesome, isn't it? That is an incredible statement right there. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. There was a divine exchange that happened on the cross where the sinless, spotless Lamb of God took our place and became sin with our sin, so that those who were sinners could become righteous with his righteousness. In Matthew 6, verse 33, it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God," and whose righteousness? His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to us. So there's something that we are given as a free gift in Christ because of what he did on the cross. There is something wonderful, mystical, beautiful, glorious, of eternal worth that happened when Jesus died on the cross. He took the worst of humanity onto his perfect self. And he gave us the best of his perfect self so that the divine became possible for us. We could live within the Godhead as a son of or daughter of God. That we don't become God, but we live connected to God. That his spirit comes and lives in us, and his life flows through us. In Genesis 3, right at the very beginning of the Bible, we see that when Adam and Eve sinned, that God provided for them a covering for their sin. So an animal was sacrificed by God so that he could make clothes for them of these animal skins. So the blood of an innocent animal was shed to cover the shame caused by the sin of Adam and Eve. That was right at the beginning. And then in Leviticus chapter 17, it says in verse 11, the life of the creature is in the blood. And I have given it to you, the Lord says, to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. In other words, he says, because of your sin, there is separation between you and God. God is a holy God and you are sinful people. And the only way you can approach a holy God is if there is atonement for your sin, if there is a payment for your sin. And so he provided animals, and the blood of the animals was poured out so that the serious of sin could be seen, and so that sin could be covered by that blood. And the verse goes on to say, it is the blood that makes atonement for a life. And so all through the Old Testament, there were a series of sacrifices. There was a sacrificial system and a temple where sinners could come to worship a holy God. And to approach the throne, there had to be the shedding of blood. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 9:22, it says, everything in the temple was cleansed with blood. Without the shedding of blood, it says, there is no forgiveness. Blood had to be shed in order for sins to be forgiven. And so we come back to the passage in Revelation, where it says, they triumphed over the enemy, over Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So two things. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Let me tell you a story. There were some people who were set apart for the glory of God. They were chosen. And they lived with a conscious awareness of God's presence. God loved them, but they chose to rebel against him. In their rebellion, they became slaves, captives in a foreign land. They were oppressed by a government who hated them. They were made to do work and labor in really unreasonable conditions. And when they didn't live up to the expectations of their slave masters, they were cruelly beaten. And in their hearts, they knew that God was real, but they saw their situation and they cried out to God, asking God to deliver them from the situation. Those were the people of God. That was Egypt. And so God raised up Moses, who in the desert had an encounter with God and was called by God to go to Pharaoh to issue edicts on behalf of the Lord of heaven and earth, so that the people of God could be released from their captivity. Various different things were brought to pass. So the Nile turned red and gnats and locusts devoured the land. And the very final judgment on the people of Egypt for not letting God's people go was that the firstborn of every family and every crop would die as the angel of death passed over. But these were the instructions given to the people of God through the elders. They were instructed on the 10th day of the month to choose a lamb without blemish. and on the 14th day in the evening to slaughter that lamb and to carefully capture the blood of that lamb in a bowl. And they were told that on the night when the angel of death would pass over, that if the blood wasn't applied to the door frame of their houses, that death would visit their houses. But if the blood was applied to the lintels of the door, not the threshold, because we don't trample the blood underfoot, do we? But onto the lintels of the door, then the angel of death would pass over. And that's why even to this day, the Jewish nation celebrate Passover. But let me ask you this question. While the blood was in the bowl, was it effective in keeping back death from that family? There was something that needed to happen to take the blood that was in the lamb all the way to the door. The blood was captured in the bowl, and why the blood was in the bowl, the blood was ineffective. The blood had to be applied to the door. And when the blood of the lamb was applied to the door, the angel of death passed over and blessing came to the household. Now, many say that this account in the Old Testament of the Passover, where the people of God were released from captivity and brought into the full freedom of the promised land through this act of sacrifice, that this is a type of Christ. And in the New Testament, as people, many of the authors of the letters, the books of the New Testament, speak about Christ and his sacrifice, they often call him the Lamb of God. Even in the passage in Revelation that we read, the Lamb of God. And John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so there was a connection that's analogous to what happened in the Old Testament, where because of what Jesus, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God, did when he died on the cross, that death passes over. And there is deliverance from sin and from Satan. There's something analogous and something powerful that we're going to look into more today. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it says this about Jesus. Christ is our Passover. He is our Passover. How was the blood taken from the bowl and applied to the door frames? Hyssop wasn't the most fancy plant. It was a common weed. It grew commonly. This is a picture up here of hyssop. And so the people of God were told to take this hyssop, this commonly growing plant in the area, to dip it into the blood and with the hyssop to apply the blood to the door frames. And if that is analogous of our relationship with God today, I wonder how we then take the reality of what Jesus did on the cross and apply it to our lives. And I think the answer comes in this passage in Revelation, which says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I believe that we apply the blood of Christ to the situations that we face. We are redeemed, we are saved, we are cleansed, we are made whole by the blood of Jesus. But often we feel so weak in our situations. You know, it might be that it's finances or friendships, or it might be that somebody has driven over our toe when they were reversing into the driveway. It might be any number of things that can change our mood and affect our lives. And sometimes we feel, you know, kind of blown around by every wind of circumstance, but we shouldn't be like that. Because when we understand who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and we declare the truth of what's been accomplished through his blood, then our lives can be transformed. And so this morning, I want to teach us how to testify to what Jesus did on the cross, to testify about how he has overcome many different aspects of failure and sinfulness in our lives by the blood of Jesus. And so up here on the screen, I've got a number of different scriptures which speak of different aspects of the power of the blood. And then I've got statements that I've prepared that I would like us all to say together. And let me just say this today. I believe as we say these things and declare them to be true over our lives, as we take the hyssop of our testimony and apply the blood to our different situations, that we'll see breakthrough and perhaps even deliverance in the room this morning. You ready? This is the first one. We are redeemed by his blood. Hallelujah. Redeemed means that we've been purchased at a price. It's an image from a slave market where somebody in captivity has had a ransom paid for them and they change ownership. And so Jesus, by his blood, has paid for us. He has ransomed us. We are redeemed. And the scripture is, for you know that it was not with perishable things, things that won't last like silver and gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Incidentally, one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 107, verse 2 in one of the translations says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So we're going to say that this morning together. So after me, let's say this together. By the precious blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, and I now fully belong to God. Give him a round of applause if you want to. That's awesome, isn't it? So I've been redeemed by his blood. Next, I have been justified by his blood. And do you know what justified means? An easy way to remember what justified means is that when Jesus has died for us, it is just as if I had never sinned. His righteousness becomes my own. And so in Romans 5, verse 9, it says, "Since we have now been justified by his blood." We have been justified by his blood. So we're going to say this together, the next screen. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been justified. I have been made righteous, just as if I had never sinned. Hallelujah. Next, we have been forgiven by his blood. We have been forgiven by his blood. Listen, the greatest need in the world today, because of the sinfulness of our society, isn't a self-help manual or a clever politician or a celebrity giving us advice. The greatest need our society has is the forgiveness of sins and the cleansing that comes through the blood of Jesus. So the scripture I wanted to bring today, Ephesians 1, 7-8 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of his grace that he lavished on us." The riches of his grace that he lavished on. I love that. I love that because that is God's heart towards you this morning. He's a God of grace who loves you. He doesn't give you stuff because you deserve it. He gives it because he's a gracious God who loves to just lavish blessing because of what Jesus has done on the cross. If you don't know God like that, let me tell you today, he is your loving heavenly Father and he lavishes blessing on you because of his grace. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, which is because he happens to be a God that is rich in grace and lavish. And then the second verse, which is an introduction really to Revelation, which just painting a picture of the gloriousness of the God that we serve, says this: "To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever." Is something happening to your spirit as we're reading these scriptures this morning? Listen, he has set us free from sin, but he hasn't just forgiven us for our sin. He has made us to be a kingdom of priests through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Right, listen to this. We're going to say this together. "Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven. And I have been set free from the power of sin over my life." Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this. All right, listen. Sin has power over our lives. But we don't need to live in defeat when sin, you know, when we see sin around us. And even when we make mistakes before the Lord, sin doesn't have to control us. And somebody once said to me, "Well, listen, what would happen if, as a believer, I had an argument with someone, then I, without repenting before the Lord, I stepped out into the street and I was knocked over by a bus. Would I go to heaven or to hell?" And I said, "Well, you go to heaven if you're in Christ, because your good works don't add anything to what Jesus has done on the cross. It's because of his sacrifice on the cross, his work on the cross. When he said, 'It is finished,' that is exactly what he meant. And so our good works are a response out of the overflow of a heart that's been transformed to the goodness of our God. And we live good lives and we do good works, not because we have to accept, be accepted and to gain his approval, but because we are brand new creations, created in the image of God to do good works, which he's destined in advance for us to do. And so, what is the relationship between a blood-bought child of God and sin? Well, sin can often mar our conscience. Our conscience needs to be cleansed when we sin and we come to God in repentance, because our consciences need to be cleansed. It's not a salvation issue, but our sin can become a blockage in our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. And so when we come back to God, we come and we know that his blood is continually effectual to cleanse our conscience and put us back in right standing with the Lord. It's not a salvation issue. We've been bought at a price. We belong to him. And so we're going to look at a scripture in 1 John 1 verse 7. It says, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us." That's continuous presence tense. And then in Hebrews 9 verse 14, "How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God." So his blood continues to cleanse our consciences even as blood-bought children of God. And so we're going to say this together. Through repentance, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse my conscience from the effects of sin so that I may serve God with my whole heart. Praise the Lord. Next, we are sanctified by the blood. There's a lot of religious sounding words in here today. Let me just say that the word sanctified is the continual process of the Holy Spirit making us holy. So we become, in our day-to-day experience, who he already says that we are. So we are already the righteousness of Christ, but you might look at yourself and say, I look in the mirror and I don't see the righteousness of Christ. Well, let me say, by faith we become day by day, from glory into glory, who he already says that we are. We become holy through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews 13 verse 12 it says, "Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood." Through his blood, we are being sanctified. Praise the Lord. And so we're going to say this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy. My life is now set apart to God for his pleasure and for his glory. This is doing me good. We're also God's temple by his blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 19 it says, Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You are bought by the blood of Jesus at a great price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Now, I believe this is going to be a powerful one for some people in the room today. Because through all sorts of compromise, we've allowed the enemy to have some access to our lives. We haven't used our bodies to glorify God. But the truth is that you are no longer your own. You belong to another. You are bought at great price. Let me just say something about that. The more a person is prepared to pay for something, the greater the value of the thing they're paying for. How valuable are you that the Father was prepared to send his only begotten Son to lay down his life on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin? How valuable and worthy are you to receive all that God has for you this morning? He places so much value on your life that he was prepared to pay the ultimate price for your freedom. And so we're going to declare together. Through the blood of Jesus, my body has become a temple for the Holy Spirit. Satan has no place in me and no power over me. Let's say that again. Satan has no place in me and he has no power over me because of the blood of Jesus. Give the Lord a round of applause. You are awesome, God. Oh, let this be life transforming for some of us here today. We've also been brought near by his blood. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away. Actually, the context of this verse is he was talking about Gentiles and Jews and how the Jews were the chosen people. But now in Christ, we too are chosen by God and we are brought near by the blood of Christ. So it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so we're going to say this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I am accepted by my Father, and he has brought me near. Amen. And not only are we brought near, but we have access to the throne room and the very presence of God through the blood. We have access by his blood. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22 says this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, how? By the blood of Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. We have access to the very presence of God through the torn veil into the Holy of Holies. And we have confidence to come, not because we are, you know, have earned it or deserve it, not because we're clean enough or righteous enough in our own righteousness to come. But through the blood of Jesus, we enter into the very presence of God. And so we're going to say this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I have access to God's holy presence. I now confidently and joyfully draw near to him. Hallelujah. I used to hear some old-time preachers saying, I'm preaching good this morning. And what they meant was they're being ministered to even as they're preaching. And this morning, the word of God is doing work in my heart. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm here anyway. Listen, we also, listen to this, we have peace by his blood. Colossians 1 verse 20. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Listen, sin caused enmity between us and God. We were enemies of God before we came to him. Our sin separated us from him and we behaved like he wasn't the God he says he was, but we treated him like he was our enemy. There was warfare going on. And through the shedding of Jesus' blood, it says that reconciliation was made possible. And peace entered into the picture. So not only peace in terms of the cessation of war, but a peace that passes understanding invading our lives. And so in Colossians 1 verse 20 it says, through him reconcile to himself all things, things on earth, things in heaven, by making peace through his blood which was shed on the cross. So let's say this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been reconciled to my Father and have peace with him. So we have peace. We also are healed by his blood. Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. And the punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, we are healed. So let's make this confession together. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been made whole and can now receive healing for my spirit, soul, and body. Hallelujah. So we're healed by the blood. We're also blessed by the blood. We've passed from a place of cursing to a place of blessing. And let me read a scripture that talks about that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 to 14, it says, Christ redeemed us. He brought us back from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So once we were susceptible to every curse spoken over our lives. The curses that came through disobedience to the law especially, but every curse of every enemy could have landed in our hearts. But it says that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, he became accursed with the curses that should have been coming our way, so that we could enter fully into the blessing that Abraham promised for the children, that his children who would follow. So we're going to say this together. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been set free from the power of every curse. As a child of God, I can now live in the fullness of God's blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now we're going to say all of them together. You up for this? Would you stand to your feet for a moment? Right, we're not just speaking words into the air, we're making declarations that are true from the word of God. And so let's go for it. By the precious blood of Jesus, I am redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. I now fully belong to God. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven, and I have been set free from the power of sin. Through the blood of Jesus, all my sins have been forgiven, and I have been set free from the power of sin. Through repentance, the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse my conscience from the effects of sin, so that I may serve God with my whole heart. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy. My life is now set apart for God, for his pleasure and for his glory. Through the blood of Jesus, I am sanctified, made holy. My life is now set apart to God for his pleasure and for his glory. Through the blood of Jesus, my body has become a temple for the Holy Spirit. Satan has no place in me and no power over me. Through the blood of Jesus, I am accepted by my Father, and he has brought me close. Through the blood of Jesus, I have access to God's holy presence. I now confidently and joyfully draw near to him. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been reconciled to my Father and have peace with him. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been made whole and can now receive healing for my spirit, soul, and body. And through the blood of Jesus, I have been set free from the power of every curse. And as a child of God, I now live in the fullness of God's blessing. Give the Lord a hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can take your seats again. So we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the application of that blood by the word of our testimony. And so I would encourage you, church, to study these scriptures, to hide them in your heart, to read them often, to remind yourself of the truth of what Jesus did when he hung on the cross. And when the enemy comes and he whispers in your ear, and he lies to you and he deceives you and he discourages you, talk back to the devil and declare the goodness of God through the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the power of his blood to overcome the enemy, who is our accuser and loves to stand before the Lord day and night bringing accusations. Let me say this to you. If the devil looked into your private life, if he could peer into your thoughts, if he could see your behavior, if all of the things that you know are wrong about your life were brought before the throne room of God and he was saying, God, look at Damien. Look at how prideful he is. Look at how he spoke to Maggie the other day. Look at his laziness when he doesn't get out of bed until on bank holiday Monday. Haven't decided yet. And Lord, he really deserves your punishment. Would you smite him for his unfaithfulness? And you know, if I stood in my own righteousness in that moment, all of the punishment that God would pour out would be coming my way and it would be deserved. But the wrath of God for our sin has been poured out on another. And that is the Lord Jesus. And when he hung on the cross, he took the punishment, the full weight of God's wrath for our sin. And he stood there and took it all and said, "It is finished." And not only that, gave us his righteousness so that when I stand before the Lord and the enemy comes to accuse me, I say, "Well, listen, I can't stand in your perfect holy presence in my own righteousness, but Father, I stand here covered in the blood of Jesus and his righteousness." And then the enemy has to stop accusing you because he's not got any grounds to stand on. Hallelujah. And so when some people use a phrase, you know, pleading the blood, and it's basically it's taking the legal, the finished work of Jesus on the cross and telling the devil that he has got no basis on which to accuse us anymore because we are in Christ and the blood of Jesus covers us. Hallelujah. Okay, Gerald and the guys, I wonder if you'd come back up. We're going to just finish with a song. And I want you to just perhaps with gratitude in your heart, thankfulness in your heart, just respond however you feel is appropriate this morning. The application of this message is for you to go away with a copy of the slides, which will be available afterwards on the way out, and to talk back to the devil, who is the accuser of the brethren, and to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and to defeat him when he accuses us by overcoming him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen.